Hey, here we are back again.
Yeah, we went ahead and watched the 1984 Firestarter.
Just to compare and contrast.
Just to compare with the other one. And okay. It's kind of like I remembered. Some of the problems I had with the with the new movie, like the fire suits and shit, is homaging scenes out of this movie.
Yeah, I had forgotten that they had the thermal heat suits in the original one.
Yeah,
too.
The shop guy, the guys from the shop, the fucking secret agents, they would show up in those damn fire retardant suits in hopes it would help them. It didn't help them though. She cooked them anyway.
They just like baked potatoes inside of
them. Yeah, yeah. But it was a pretty good movie. Not a modern movie, a movie of its time. The edit kind of bogs down in a certain places where, and I see why they changed it in the new one. The old one is kind of closer to the book, from what I remember of the book.
Yeah.
And just like anything else, sometimes that doesn't work very well in a movie. They did have the time span about right, I think, didn't they?
It seemed like they did. Yeah. They were better at like conveying that. Like, and the weird thing about it, I do like this movie, but I will note that I don't think it's one of the best Stephen King adaptations, particularly from that time period. And the interesting thing about it, and I didn't really realize this until I was researching the 1984 film, was that this got really shitty reviews when it came out too, and Stephen King did not like it.
Really?
Yeah, he just thought it was... He thought Drew Barrymore was good in it, mm-hmm. but he didn't like David Keith, the guy that played Andy McGee, the dad. Yeah. He thought he was... he just thought he wasn't like he was too hammy or something like that.
Okay.
And, yeah, so there was a lot of stuff about it he didn't like. Interestingly, here's another thing I didn't know, was that John Carpenter was supposed to direct this.
Okay.
And he actually had a screenwriter do him and the screenwriter kind of like work together, and they did an adaptation. They changed a lot of stuff from the novel, but I'm not entirely sure what. But it seemed like a good movie. Stephen King like approved of it, even though he changed a lot of stuff from the novel. But then The Thing came out, John Carpenter's Thing, and very famously kind of tanked at the box office.
Yeah, unjustifiably.
Unjustifiably, obviously, because it's a fucking classic. But, you know, it's his best movie. But the thing about it is that after that happened, they're like, okay, well, we don't want you to direct Firestarter now. Mm. So they actually ended up getting Mark Lester, who was more of like an action movie guy or like a cheese. He did Commando. Okay, he did Roller Boogie. He did Class of 1984. So not so much, you know, he was kind of like more an action movie guy or like a cheesy kind of guy. And I mean, okay, so trying to take nostalgia out of the equation, because I was trying to do that when I was, because I've seen this movie multiple times, but it's been a long time since I've seen it, and so I was trying to look at it with through like an objective lens. Now I will say that I think the 1984 one is a better adaptation and is a better movie in general, but there are some changes that they made in the new one that I think were probably better. You know what I'm saying?
I understand why they did it when you look at the, when you look at the old one. The pacing, there are pacing problems with this. It slows down.
It's a little long.
Yeah, it's long. It slows down. Especially when they're in captivity. And some of the stuff that they did when they were on the run was kind of like, why are they even bothering showing this? You know what I mean? It was just kind of like empty, kind of like action. But I guess they had to show them on the run. It's just that some of the stuff that they did on the run just wasn't all that exciting. It's a classic movie though,
all right? Yeah.
And score is good. Tangerine Dream does the score.
Yeah, I really like the score of this movie.
And I'm listening to it, and I'm going like, man, that sounds like John Carpenter. You know, and John Carpenter did the score on the new one.
Yeah.
And you said that he was supposed to direct this one.
Yeah.
Maybe Tangerine Dream is slightly homaging John Carpenter, because that score sounded like something that John Carpenter would have come up with.
Yeah, I really actually
didn't
really
sound
do.
Like Tangerine Dream.
Not generally, nope. Because they did do a lot of movie scores around this time period. I think they ended up doing like 20-odd movies, I think.
Yeah.
They did scores for, and I usually like them, but yeah, this doesn't sound exactly like their regular stuff.
No.
It does sound a little more Carpenter.
Sounds like Carpenter. It, you know, good movie. you know, for what it is. Like it's a, like I said, it's a middling kind of, it's like a Stephen King movie in the middle for the adaptations. I put it like maybe just a little bit below Dead Zone.
I think it's kind of a lot below Dead Zone. I mean, Dead Zone and Christine were, I mean, but you know, Dead Zone was Cronenberg, for Christ's sake, and Christine was John Carpenter. So obviously those are going to be a lot better. A
lot of the same people in it, though.
That's true.
All right, I would, and it's not that. I mean, I put it below Dead Zone, but not a whole lot below it. It's real similar. The way it's shot, just, you know.
Well, Martin Sheen is playing essentially the same character.
Yeah, pretty much.
In this movie as he plays. Well, so Martin Sheen was actually not supposed to be, it was supposed to be Burt Lancaster in that role, but then, like, he got sick or he had heart surgery or something like that. So Martin Sheen kind of came in at the last minute, and he actually plays kind of like Stilson, the guy that he played in Dead Zone, the politician. He kind of plays a similar kind of role. So I don't know. He's a little over the top in this, but that was kind of his thing, so that was, like, fine. But I found it really interesting because people are, like, complaining about the new Firestarter, which, like I'm saying, I don't think it's a great movie by any stretch. It's, you know, it's meh, but it was fine. But people said the exact same thing about the original one when it came out in 84. Like, Roger Ebert said it was boring. Yeah. You know, a lot of people thought that the guy that played Andy was like was too hammy or like too over the top, kind of shit like that. And a lot of people really didn't like that it sort of like was too long and like sagged in the middle.
Yeah, so Rogers, I agree with him. It's a little bit boring. It's a little slow in certain spots, but it was memorable. That's the weird thing about the movie. There's a lot of good scenes in it and a lot of good ideas that you remember after, you know, especially if you're a kid watching it, you know. Like certain abilities that they did, you know, making Martin Sheen. What's the name of the character? Martin Sheen's character in this one? Do you remember?
Hollister, Captain Hollister. It was the same as the woman It was the same character.
Yeah, he pushes. He's in captivity, and he pushes Hollister to let him go and to arrange the helicopter and to give up all the information. Then in the end, he pushes Hollister to fight Rainbird. And he did it, you know.
Yeah, or to shoot him anyway.
Well, they were fighting him. That's the same, you know. Fucking order. It was just like, and he died doing that. And they both got killed, though.
Yeah, he got shot right in the
head. I forgot about that. There's a bunch of cool shit that happens. You'd be like, man, that'd be cool to be able to do that, just to fucking take some dude who a minute ago was going to kill you, and then all of a sudden get him on your side and to make him fucking fight one of his own guys, you know, to defend you. That'd be a powerful fucking ability.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So the thing about this one that I had kind of forgotten about was that whereas the new one is, as we said, it's a lot more condensed. I think it's only like 90-something minutes, whereas this one is almost like pushing 2 hours. But the new one kind of compresses time, so it happens like in a briefer period of time.
Yeah, like
there's
a couple days.
There's no like captivity period or anything like that, which goes on for a long time. And it tells the story like more or less chronologically. Like it does the whole flashback, like how you know, Andy and Vicky got their powers. Like they just do that in the opening credits, and then they just move pretty much right to, you know, where the kid is 11. Now in the original movie she was 8. But yeah,
works
so
that, better that she's a little bit older.
Yeah, although the weird thing about it, and this is a weird thing too, and I was thinking about this when we were rewatching the movie last night. Even though the girl that plays Charlie in the new one is less likable because she's a little bit older, and we were saying, oh, she's a little bit darker. But in the original, Drew Barrymore, who is cute as a fucking button and is much younger and seems a lot more innocent, she kills way more people. She has like a way higher body count than the girl in the new movie does. But she's still more sympathetic. Is that weird? That's really weird. I was thinking about that when I was watching
it. It's because the tone of the movie, and that it was also kind of more like an action movie, like something out of Commando, I guess, you know. And the bad guys were more clear-cut bad guys, I guess you could say, in the original, in the 84 one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were in captivity. And I think that helped, but not in the new one. So it was a little more ambiguous of what was happening sometimes. And Rainbird killed some guys on his own side, which he does kind of go rogue in the old one. But the thing is the way it ends, and certain things that happened in the new one, that's only about half the story, which makes me believe that they when they made this movie, they intended to do two of them.
Yeah, and I was reading some other reviews, and then it was like the AV Club said this seemed like a CBS TV movie or part of like a two part series from 2003.
It's not that bad.
Ouch. That's what they said.
Not that bad.
Well, one thing I do like about the original one a lot more, even though it's not told in chronological order, like it pretty much starts out after the mom is dead and Andy and Charlie are like on the run and they're running away and kind of, you know, the story's kind of like told in a little bit of flashback, which is fine. The chronological way of approaching it was fine too. I don't really have a preference. They're both like pretty clear, but the original one, the ending of it is way, way better because, as I said, Charlie in the original, Drew Barrymore, she kills fucking everybody in this, because in the new one, like when all the cops come to the old couple's house, Rainbird kills all those cops in the new one.
Yeah.
In the old one, Charlie kills them all.
Yeah.
Like, she just burns them all up, like, burns them alive. And, you know, so, and she feels bad about it, but she still does that. And then at the end of the movie, she kills, God, that had to be, like, hundreds and hundreds of people. But it's, like, a really big, it's like a Carrie ending.
Yeah, like
really.
Carrie.
Where it's just, I mean, she burns fucking everything down. Blows up a helicopter, blows up that whole entire house, like, fireballs shooting everywhere and shit like that. And all of that was practical effects, too.
Yeah.
So the ending of the original is a lot better, like, is a lot more epic. I felt like the ending of the new one, like, she just kind of, like, breaks into the facility in the new one. And burns up some people, and then gets out, and then burns the place down like in the background.
Yeah.
But in the original, like you see people like getting hit with fucking fireballs and like flying up into
There wasn't a big ending in the new one where you know she's fighting this whole fucking unit of them. You know.
Yeah, where her dad's like burn it all down, and she's like can do.
And just the way it ended, I don't want to spoil the ending. Just the way it ended, I'm like, well, shit, that can't be the end.
Yeah.
That
was my main issue with the new one was just, like I said, it was
totally unresolved.
It was fine up to that, but like the end was just left like really ambiguous.
Yeah. Like, okay, that's the end of part one.
Yeah.
But,
they were trying to pull like an It chapter one and chapter two type
that's
situation.
That's what I think they were doing.
I'm thinking that's what they were trying to do.
Which means that there's room in this story to actually have a second movie that's better than the first one, depending on how they play it. It's deviated from the book a lot.
Yeah.
But not as much as I thought. A lot of the stuff that they showed in this movie is mentioned in the first one, but not shown. It's like it's sometimes focusing on things that didn't happen. Like the new one talks about what it was like when she was in school. Well, they actually show that in the new one, what happened at school.
Yeah.
But it's only mentioned.
Yeah, there's like a couple of scenes where she's in school and she's getting picked on. And
right. So there's the focus. In the new movie, it focuses on different elements of the book, I guess, that the 84 version, this version, didn't focus on.
Yeah.
So it's the same story, mostly, just the emphasis is on different things that weren't always talked about, I guess, in the 84 movie. So it's just another way of doing it. I'm still open-minded about it. I mean, I just have to see what happens. It's definitely not finished.
I do like the 84 one better, obviously, but it has problems too.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like there's a good, because, I mean, the book Firestarter, this is a really good book, and it's usually like, it seems to be up there with people's favorite Stephen King novels from this era.
I read it. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. Yeah. And so I kind of feel like there's a really good film adaptation in there somewhere. But the thing about it is that just like with a lot of Stephen King's, and I think this is why, like, you know, adaptations of his work tend to be so hit or miss, is that so much of his novels, you know, most of which are very long, obviously, have to do with people's internal thoughts and feelings, like stuff going on inside people's heads.
Yeah.
And that's really, really hard to convey in a movie.
Yeah. Now,
which is why they usually have to change so much.
The George C. Scott Rainbird, seeing it again, did kind of bring back some memories. I was right. He wanted to kill her so he could inherit her power in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Kind of like how the Overlook Hotel could inherit your shine after you're dead. He wanted to do that, and he thought that if he killed her at a precise moment where she was the most happy, that he could collect on her fucking soul, I guess, or her power in the afterlife. And he said he would die soon.
Yeah, he seemed to have some kind of weird, like, religious thing.
Yeah.
Or spiritual thing.
It was
where...
a Native American thing, I think, in the book.
Yeah.
And they left out... I remembered it had kind of like a pedestry undertone. It's kind of not there as much as I thought it was.
I mean, he does, like, put his hand on her thigh. And, like, it is creepy.
Yeah.
I will say that George C. Scott was a lot scarier. Like, he was a lot more threatening.
Right.
Because you knew that he was a bad guy, and there was, like, a lot of interaction between them. The new one... I did like that they actually won, that they actually got a real indigenous person to play that character, but I also like that they gave him a little bit of a backstory. And they gave him kind of his own powers, but they kind of made him a little bit of a victim too, because he had also been fucked over by the shop. Like, he had been given Lot 6 before Vicky and Andy, like, so he was an earlier trial. And I think
that might have been in the book.
It might have been. I can't remember.
I think in the book, I think he did have paranormal abilities. I think he did.
I have to look that up. I didn't remember him having paranormal powers, but I don't know.
He believed he could steal their souls.
That's true.
And they were saying, "You're crazy." And he's like, "Yeah." But I think he actually did believe that. Maybe there was something to that. I mean, if the house, this is the Stephen King universe. If a fucking hotel can do it, why couldn't a damn Indian shaman? Basically what they're saying he is. Like a shaman.
Yeah.
But he was also ex-military and all kinds of stuff, I think, if I remember in the book. I think he was Special Forces in Vietnam and did some other stuff. And I think he was psychic. Or it hinted that he was psychic in the book. But, well, you know...
And I liked too in the new version, and I'm not saying that I think the new version is better in a lot of ways, but I like some of the storytelling decisions they made better, even if they weren't that well executed. I did like that. I didn't like them kind of not, because I liked the whole aspect of Rainbird pretending to be a good guy to, like, get into Charlie's good graces and stuff, which they didn't do in the new movie. Like I said, I think it made him scarier because the audience knows he's a bad guy, but Charlie is trusting and doesn't know that he's a bad guy. But I did like that they made Rainbird more directly... they inserted him more directly into the story by being the one that had killed Charlie's mother. In the original... Because I thought that he had killed the mom in the original movie, too, but that is not the case. The mother was actually just killed by two random dudes from the shop.
Yeah.
And interestingly, in the original, Andy doesn't kill those guys. He just blinds them. In the new one, he absolutely does kill them.
Yeah.
So the new one has, like, some darker aspects to it as far as character motivations go. But... I don't know. Some of the stuff in the new adaptation, like, made more sense story-wise for the story they were trying to tell. Like I said, I do like that they gave Rainbird more of motivation as being kind of like he got fucked over by the shop, but then they gave him a job, and then they kind of, like, threw him away, but then they're bringing him back, like, under new auspices. But he's still kind of a rogue element and sort of is... doing what they want, like, just in service of, like, destroying them from within, essentially, is what he's trying to do, because he's, like, trying to get revenge on them as well. So I thought that was an interesting
Two Rainbirds are different.
Yeah.
And the George C. Scott one, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, he's way scarier.
I mean, he can do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's George C. fucking Scott. I like the new one, though, too. I thought he looked cool. The backstory, some of the shit that he did was pretty cool. There wasn't enough of him in the movies.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
He didn't have very many lines, okay?
Yeah.
Which, if there's a second one, maybe they'll remedy that. I don't know.
Yeah, because they really are going to have to... Because, like we said, they changed it a lot.
They changed it at that point, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to change it that much, then...
You better be fucking good with it.
Then you better know where that story's going.
Yeah.
Because I don't know... I'm not entirely sure how I feel about the ending. I mean, I'd be willing to like see a second part to this to see where what they do with it, because I'm curious.
Yeah, okay. I'm not gonna spoil everything, but look, the way the new one ends, it's as if Rainbird wins.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think he does though. I think it's just it was the end of part one.
Did you notice, too, another thing that the new movie changed? This isn't, like, a hugely significant change, so I'm kind of wondering why they made it. I thought in the new one, it was implied that Andy and Vicky, the mom and dad, that they already had some latent psychic abilities before they took Lot 6 and that, like, brought it out. Whereas I feel like in the original movie, and maybe the book, I can't remember, the drug actually gave them those psychic powers. Am I wrong about that?
From what I remember in the book, most people that took the real Lot 6 during that test kind of went crazy.
Yeah.
Dude tore his eyes out. And
they did that in the new one and the old one. Yeah,
and
they did that.
It didn't work. But those two, yeah, for some reason they came back with abilities. But I don't remember if... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they came back with abilities. And I don't remember exactly what they did with them, though. I guess they put them in custody because they'd escaped, right?
Well, the thing about... Now, this was just like a throwaway line, but like I said, yeah. I was really trying to like pay attention to the old one because I've seen it before, but I had forgotten and I was like trying to compare and to contrast the two. Now, in the original one, the mom... Now, that's another thing I like about the new one is that at least they gave the mom like more of a role before she got murdered.
Yeah.
Because Heather Locklear played the mom in the and she was in it for like a minute.
Yeah,
seriously. She was hardly in it.
Yeah.
She was like in the scene where they met, like at the trial, and then she got her hands burned and then she was dead, like in the closet. But the thing about it is that I don't know. I just feel like it was like a really weird... I was going somewhere with that, and I totally forgot, like, where I was going with it, because I got distracted by the thing about, like, the mom. What did you just ask me?
If they had psychic abilities before the, they took Lot 6 or not.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been so long that I read the book, I'm not sure.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Okay, so in the new movie, here's another thing that I liked. In the new movie, they kind of make it, they give an excuse why the family doesn't have cell phones or Wi-Fi or anything like that, because they don't want the shop tracking them.
Yeah.
Because the shop don't know where they are, and they have to keep moving around. In the original movie, I thought that Heather Locklear, before Drew Barrymore set her hands on fire, said something about, you know, they know where we are, or, you know, they're keeping us here, or something like that. So I was under the impression that the shop knew where they were, but was just, like, making them stay there to keep an eye on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they didn't... That Andy and Charlie, at least that was the impression I got, didn't go on the run until Vicky got murdered. Right?
I think they went on the run because... oh, wait a minute. In the old one, they went on the run because... No. Charlie set fire to the school, remember? And she was going to come under investigation. That's why they ran.
Well, in the new one.
In the new one, yeah.
Well, because the shop... Remember, because the shop was monitoring everywhere because they didn't know where they were. Because in the new one, they made it very clear, like I said, that they did not have cell phones. They didn't have Wi-Fi. They kept changing their names. In the original movie, we're led to believe that those were their actual names, like the McGees. In the new one, they have all these... Because when they finally catch Andy... You know, she lists off all his aliases. So they've been, like, moving around trying to hide from them. But when she is at school and, like, does the explosion, like, in the bathroom, they catch it, like, on thermal imaging camera or whatever. And they're like...
From a satellite.
Yeah, from a satellite. And they're like, oh, we need to check that out because that might be where that kid is that they were trying to find.
They were looking for him.
Yeah. I kind of felt like in the original one, they seemed like they knew where they were.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they did.
Because it seemed like I can't remember exactly what Heather Locklear said, but she had a line like when they were all in the kitchen that it's like, you know, we're right where they want us, or, you know, they can find us or something like that. So I was led to believe that the shop knew where they were and was like kind of monitoring them, or they knew they were being monitored.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when they killed Vicky, when they killed the mom, then it was just kind of like, then they went on the run. Whereas the new one, they made it very clear that they have been in hiding, like, the whole time.
Straw Dogs is mentioned in the television series. Yeah, they keep trying to get us to see it on that little service that she has. Peacock? How's it called?
Well, Peacock was... it is on Peacock, actually. Yeah, that's what we watched the... Because they have Firestarter 84. That's where we watched that.
I don't know if it's any good or not.
It's from 2002.
Yeah.
It's from the Sci-Fi Channel. And it's basically Charlie, like, as grown up. Okay. Or it's like a hot 20-something.
Right,
so I don't know. It might be okay. Because remember how we didn't even know that there was a Dead Zone series?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And actually. Then actually we watched it. I was like, wow, that was actually really, really good.
Yeah.
That was from what? Early to mid 2000s?
Early 2000s.
Yeah, I think
I got it on DVD.
If you haven't seen it, Anthony Michael Hall is in it.
Yeah.
Playing Johnny Smith. And it was actually, like, way better than I was expecting. I was expecting it to be, like, really, really shit. But it was actually, like, really, really good.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know if the... It's called Firestarter Rekindled.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was made for sci-fi. But, yeah, it's just... I don't know. So... Seeing the first one, though, I'm glad we watched it. Because it was, like, really instructive... To see, like, how they... It's essentially the same story, but it's just...
They tweaked it.
They structured it differently. Yeah. They changed a couple of people's backstories. They gave some people in the new ones, I feel like they gave them, like, better motivation for doing particular things. Although, I do wish they had done more in the new one with Rainbird. I did like the stuff they did, like, with his backstory, but...
He didn't have a whole lot of lines.
Yeah, he wasn't in it enough.
Yeah.
Because in the original one, like, pretty much the whole second half of the movie is Rainbird and Charlie, like, because Charlie's in, you know, she's locked up at the shop, and so he's, like, trying to get into her good graces, and so they interact a lot more, whereas this one, he seems a lot more, like, he seems, like, less of a character and more just kind of, like...
Yeah, and it ends on a cliffhanger where it looks like Rainbird won, but it's got to be the end of part one of the first movie. I mean,
it's got to be that.
It's got to be. So there has to be more to it coming. But all I got to say.
Because, I mean, the original had such, like, an epic, like, definitive ending.
Right.
With all that fucking grace.
This one was just like, no, that's not really an end.
And one thing I kind of like, too, is that... In the original, I love the old couple that, you know, picks them up, which was Art Carney and Louise Fletcher, by the way. But I will say that I kind of like that the new one gave that old guy, like, more of a reason for picking them up. I think, like, in the original movie, he was just, like, a nice old farmer, and he's like, hey, I'm going to pick up some hitchhikers and take them back to my house, and then it turns out that he's, like, supposedly a fugitive. Whereas in the new one, they make it clear that Andy has to push him to get him to pick them up because the guy doesn't really want to do it. And then there's also, like, a kind of a nice little subplot which I kind of wish they'd expanded on a little bit. But in the new one, the guy has a wife who's, like, she was in a car accident and she can't talk. So she's, like, she's not in a coma, but, you know, she can't talk or anything like that. And so the reason that the old guy, whose name's Irv, I think, he was an Irv in both versions. And the reason that the old guy is so, wants to protect them after that is that Charlie, like, shows that she can psychically know what his wife is saying and can tell him, like, because she knows all the stuff about him. So I kind of like that they did that. Whereas in the original one, as much as I like them in it, and I like them as characters better, in the new one they had, like, he had more of a motivation, I think, for, like, helping them. You know what I'm saying? Martin Sheen's son, Emilio Estevez, was in Maximum Overdrive, which had some great music by AC/DC. Yeah, we're gonna have to review that one of these days. Because that movie's fucking...
Movie's terrible.
It's terrible, but it's also quite awesome.
Yeah.
It's so terrible that it's awesome. All right, you seem like you're done talking.
Yeah, I gotta go to the restroom.
He's
going on and on. I gotta go to the restroom.
I'm not going on and on. We've only been on for like half an hour.
Okay.
All right. So we will be back tomorrow evening for our regular show. We're actually talking about the Australian folk hero / cultural icon, Ned Kelly, which several of you have recommended. We're finally getting around to that tomorrow night. It should be a fun show. So, as always, thanks for dropping by to see us today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow afternoon or evening. Bye.